Hi, it's Michael Senoff here with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Here's a very special interview. The title of this interview is called How I Made More Than $1 Million Online. It's an interview with internet consultant Terry Dean. Terry Dean used to be a pizza delivery driver hoping for little more than $2 tips and good weather. Then the internet came along and through trial and error, he figured out how to make the most of it. Now he's made more than $1 million selling products online and he teaches others how to do it too. Terry admits his success didn't happen overnight. Although he was making a decent living off the internet in about 6 months, it took him almost 10 years to get to the level he is now. And in this audio, you'll hear how he did it. You'll also hear the best ways to build a list and why you should be more concerned with building relationships with your list than with the length of the list itself. You'll learn low-risk and low-cost advertising that works. You'll learn tests that will help you be absolutely certain you're building a business that's based on demand. You'll learn how to use social networking sites to build your business and which ones are really worth your time. You'll learn quick and easy ideas for repurposing your content for YouTube, blog posts, books, DVDs, and more. According to Terry Dean, one of the biggest mistakes you can make in the internet business is to try to find the easiest route to riches. This is a trap that can actually prevent you from making money because instead of sticking with a solid plan, you're wasting time bouncing from one hyped up idea to the next. Fortunately, all you have to do is follow good, sound business advice to make money online. And in this interview, that's exactly what you're going to hear. And for more information about Terry, go to his website called www.killermarketingcoach.com. That's killer, K-I-L-L-E-R, M-A-R-K-E-T-I-N-G-C-O-A-C-H.com. Now let's get going.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Waters with an interview from Michael Senoff, HardToFindSeminars.com. Welcome, Terry Dean, to the program. I've enjoyed looking at your website and learning about you and what you do. And one of the things that really gets to me is, you know, you often hear about a person that has no marketing experience, no business experience, and they made it big. And you wonder, maybe this is used as a marketing tool in itself. So my question is, did you really go from delivering pizzas to $1 million business, or is that just a way to catch people's attention?
I really did go from delivering pizzas to earning quite a bit more than $1 million online. But the funny thing with it is I wouldn't want anybody to think that I did it all of a sudden or I did it in 1 month, because that just isn't the case. And that's where a lot of times there's what I would say misconceptions about the internet and other businesses, is people think that it's like an instant overnight success. And I think every overnight success I've ever heard of is really like a 10-year success that you see happening in the background. You just don't see all the other stuff going on. But really, I did get to earning a good full-time income pretty quickly online, about 6 months. Within about 6 months of starting online, I was doing about $6,000-$7,000 a month.
And where did that ambition come from? You know, did you just deliver one too many pizzas? Or while you were delivering them, did you have this brainstorm, this great idea? What happened? What came over you?
Well, what really happened was I had tried a lot of different things to succeed in business before. I had tried doing several network marketing companies. My wife could attest to the fact that our basement was filled with some of the stuff from network marketing companies. I had tried to do some direct sales. I'd even tried to do some direct mail that I'd borrowed money off the credit card to do. And none of that really worked out for me. But at that time, and we were moving back all the way to 1996, and I heard the very first stories of a few people using this internet thing to become successful. And that was just something I said to myself inside, that I can do this. That's something that I know I can do. It kind of fits me. I was never really good at direct one-on-one selling, but I had a talent for writing, and I'm a pretty good writer. And so I said, I can probably do this. And I just got started online. We bought my first computer with the whole intention of trying to make the internet work. I mean, it was a Pentium 75. Way back then, which is a dinosaur. But I remember real clearly when we went in and bought that at Best Buy, the Pentium 75 computer special that they had for a computer and monitors, like $2,500 back then. But I got it and went online, started doing some research, seeing what people were doing, and picked up some licenses to, like, self-help videos. We were doing VHS videos back then, and licensed those so I could sell them personally, and started selling those online. And that's where I really got started.
Where did you hear about the internet?
Well, I don't remember the first time I ever actually heard about the internet. I don't remember exactly where I first heard it, but I heard it was like maybe a news story that I watched or maybe a magazine article, but I heard that there were some people who were getting it to work, and something inside me said that this is something that I could do, and this is what is for me. And so to get started doing it, it's kind of funny. When I started back then, there was like nothing to teach you what to do online. I mean, it was just barely getting started, so there was nothing out there. So once I got on the internet, I went out and I bought some materials, like materials that Jay Abraham had, and other direct marketers who did like direct mail marketing, and I kept thinking to myself, you know, reading through each thing that they produced, how does this apply to the internet? How could I use what they talk about here online?
People didn't even have websites then, so how did you actually start up a business, or did that come later down the line?
There were websites at the time, because we got a website set up not too long after I got started. We started off with like some ads on CompuServe. It was like the big one at the time, and I was using CompuServe to go into the internet. But there were websites around, just they weren't very good. I sometimes talk about our ugly website that we had back then, which was basically just, you know, a plastered bunch of text that didn't even match. Was pretty much what the website was.
You certainly didn't have shopping carts back then, et cetera, did you?
Oh, no, we didn't have shopping carts. We actually had to take orders off by the phone first. At the very beginning, there wasn't any automatic ordering. And life is so much easier today than it was then for this, but we had to take orders over the phone. Not necessarily that it was a good thing, but some people weren't as scared about credit card numbers online because there wasn't credit card fraud, so some people would still order like through email or something, which I definitely wouldn't recommend anybody doing today because you'd probably get it stolen since it's not secure. But the interesting thing back then is we had to go through a lot of work to do all, and a lot of it was by trial and error. I like to tell people that I really failed my way to success online. I found that everything that didn't work first.
Can you give some examples of things that didn't work that you first tried?
Well, here's the real funny thing. When I first tried it, like any time that I spent a lot of money on advertising, it did badly for me. And again, we'll go back to that very beginning. It's a little bit different today, but I remember real well when I first spent money for this person who was a really good designer to design a really nice looking page. And I had been using one of those ugly pages with graphics that were all over the place and didn't look right. Okay, and then I had them design this really nice page, and we stopped getting sales with this nice web page. You know, today it's nicer to have a little bit of design, but back then, I mean, we all had really slow modems, and so everything was slow to load, and most of the sites were really bad looking, so if you had something that was, like, really gorgeous looking, it took forever to load, and then it, like, stood out from everything else, and it just didn't sell. It stopped selling, so that was my first lesson, was I had my ugly web page, we switched it out to a really nice one, and we stopped making any money. Didn't take me long to switch that back, so that was a big mistake. Any other time that I've spent a lot of money on advertising coming into it, I almost always ended up losing the money. So it's kind of interesting. As we went along, later on, I ended up developing a membership site, and the whole point of that membership site was to show ads that I used that worked and ones that I didn't. And anybody who was a part of it got to see the fact that probably more than half the ads I ran didn't work, which by that I mean they lost money. And I think really it gives people a good understanding that just because you're an expert at it, just because you're good at it, doesn't mean everything works. It's all by testing that we figure out what works and what doesn't in our online business. And it's kind of funny, you know, more than half the ads don't work. But then how do I make a successful business? Well, I just keep writing the ones that do.
Let me ask you something. What was the initial business? Was it selling these videotapes? Was that the initial business that you were putting ads up for?
Yes. Well, the biggest growth for me, I was doing pretty good because, you know, we did some ads that worked and some that weren't. The little ones using, like, CompuServe. I don't remember what CompuServe was charging us back then. They were charging us some little fees. I think some things were free, but some of them they charged little fees for. What really was the biggest thing for my business was a little bit later on that year when I figured out that building an email list was the key principle to earning a profit from the business. I had to build an email list and keep following up on these customers. I mean, at first, I kind of just made some sales, and we didn't do anything with people who bought. We didn't try to capture anybody who didn't buy, and we just made some sales and made some money that way. So the big breakthrough I had was figuring out, hey, if I give away something, I can get people to give me their email address, and then I can follow up on them.
So what was the second thing that you had that you were offering?
Still, at that point in time, I was still offering videos of other videos that I had, and the breakthrough was figuring out that it was based off the email list. And I mean, you know, a lot of people talk about that today, that the money's in the list, which is partially true because the real money's in the relationship with the list, which is building a relationship with them by sending out content, giving them value, and being someone that they can trust with the email. But that was my big breakthrough, was figuring out that list was important, so I started working with email lists. Today, we use like autoresponder systems and things like that. Back then, we had to use software. And I remember originally, when I first started building an opt-in email list, we were using some of the software people used for spam. They were using spam software to send out all these email lists. But in the beginning, we didn't have any of the good tools we have today, so we had to use some of the same software.
What were some of the steps that you'd used to keep your list growing?
Well, with Lyft, the very first thing I did was every ad I started placing them for the list first. I'm going to give you something free if you sign up for this.
Okay.
You give me your email address, I'm going to give you this freebie, like this free report. It was just something I gave online, like a basic text file in the very beginning. Now we use PDF files, but then it was like a basic text file. We give it to you for signing up, and then I can follow up, and then I can send multiple promotions. So I can promote this video, I can promote that video. And basically build my business by making multiple sales instead of just the individual one sale I made in the beginning. Now with the affiliates, I would consider affiliates like a separate thing because when I was starting, I don't remember having any affiliates until eventually when I wrote my own first product, and we're talking at least 2 or 3 years later for that. So I think it's like 2 more years later before I even had anything that was affiliates.
But is that correct that when you have affiliates that part of that motivation is to expand your list?
With affiliates, it really is. They'll help you expand your list. But probably the biggest motivation for me with affiliates is the fact that I now can generate sales without spending anything up front. I'm only paying them when we make sales. And I buy advertising, or like if I buy advertising on Google pay-per-click, I have to pay for the ad whether it makes me any money or not. With affiliates, I'm only going to pay them if they made me money. They get a share of the sales.
Do you share lists with affiliates? To tell you the truth, I'm ignorant about that fact.
No, you do not share your list with affiliates. You don't share your list with anybody. At times, you'll send out an email to your list telling them about possibly an affiliate program or telling them about somebody else that they can subscribe to, but you don't ever actually share your list with any other business.
What are some other assumptions you think that people have about selling on the Internet that may be myths?
Well, probably the biggest myth is all I have to do is put up my website and this product and we're going to make a lot of sales. That is such a big myth. More than anything, it really comes down to giving some value away, giving it away free. I mean, you'll hear some people talk about the fact that there's a statement out there called moving the free line. And what that statement basically means is that people are giving away more for free. They're giving more value up front before they sell something, and they're doing that to build a relationship with people first to make the sale, because we buy from those who we know, like, and trust. So we build those relationships with people before we offer them something to buy. And so one of the big myths people have is that they can just put up the site, sell this product, and they'll make a lot of sales. Or another big myth that's out there, probably the biggest myth comes around with people thinking that it's going to be so easy, or they're going to place this one ad and it's going to make them so much money. But as I mentioned already, the fact that with me, whenever I ran like a big ad or spent a lot of money on advertising, usually it did poorly for me. So I quickly developed into the attitude of doing little, small, low-risk advertising where I'm spending maybe $100 or less on an ad. And then if it works, I keep building on it. So a myth that comes in here is some people think that you need a lot of money to start your internet business. And my experience with this has actually been the opposite. That if you have too much money coming in your internet business and you are willing to spend too much money, you're just going to end up losing a majority of it. So for most people, I tell them to spend some time getting to study different materials and then come in with a low investment, test everything each step along the way. And what I mean by that is when we're testing each step along the way, many times before I want to pick a product to sell, even before I get to that point, a lot of times I want to do a survey of people where I might go to a forum, or I might like run a small ad on AdWords, and I'll run them to a survey page asking them what they're actually looking for before we look for a product or develop a product for them. So I'm talking about we go each step along the way, assuming we really don't know a ton ourselves, and that's kind of almost a backwards position. But the best way to be successful online is assume you don't know anything. What I'm talking about more here is the overall strategy, where we build our business based on what our customers tell us they want. And so even somebody who's on the creative type, somebody who loves to be creative and doesn't like to get into all these details, I would still tell them to like go visit a couple of like discussion boards online or forums online where people are just talking and discussing, and put up a simple survey asking them a few questions so that you can get information back, or even call up a few people that you know are in the market. You know, no matter what the market is, let's say I love training dogs, and so I'm thinking about creating something about training dogs or selling something online about training dogs. I would definitely get on the phone at the very minimum, with some people who have dogs, and we know that they want to train the dogs, so I can ask them quite a few different questions so I can clarify in my own mind exactly what they're looking for and what it is that they want. So that's what I'm talking about, even on the bottom line basis. I mean, we can get much more advanced where we have tons of surveys and we're running all this pay-per-click traffic to it and we're doing all types of advertising and we go in and we intensively do the numbers on everything. I mean, we can do all that, but at the bare minimum, on the creative side, we want to get on the phone with at least a few people who are the exact target market for what we want to sell, and we get their feedback.
What are your services now that you're offering?
Well, what I actually personally do is I create and sell products online. In addition, I do coaching. So I'm one of the consultants that consults people on internet marketing. I do that more than anything because I find it very enjoyable. And another reason that I do it isn't really for the money, because if I actually look at the numbers and look at it very hard on the numbers only, my time is better spent on my own projects than it is doing consulting and coaching. But doing the coaching allows me to know all the questions people are asking, and those questions that my clients ask become more generic of nature, so it's not specifically to them, but those questions end up becoming products that I create to help everybody else. So it's a very strong basis there of, even though the actual time spent in coaching, it comes back to almost that survey nature of being on the phone with people that I just mentioned, and how important that is for the customer research and knowing what to offer. Clients is my purpose for the coaching more than anything else. But if you were to ask me how I define myself and the name that I use, I call myself an internet business coach.
For more information on Terry's internet marketing coaching system, go to killermarketingcoach.com. That's KillerMarketingCoach.com.
And you talk about cutting through the internet marketing noise. Would you explain that a little bit?
What I mean by that is when I first started, there was like nothing online. Nobody knew what they were doing, and we were all just randomly guessing. That's pretty much what the case was. I mean, no matter how ingenious someone says that they are at the beginning, we were all just guessing, and some people got it right at the very beginning. Today, if you go online, there's thousands of products out there that talk about making money online. There's thousands of products out there talking about how to generate traffic or how to do your website. And I talk about the fact that we have to cut through the noise of all of this, basically what they call information overload, to find the real gems and what's really true. I mean, I'm an avid reader. I read a lot of books. I buy ebooks. I watch videos. I'm a strong studier. Just recently, I went through like two or three ebooks that I had purchased, and I didn't even finish past the first few pages because I knew by experience that quite a few of the things they were saying weren't true. So it kind of, we'll say, it cut me off. That was part of the noise going on that we have to watch out for. And so my advice to people listening to this is to pick a couple of experts, maybe no more than two or three, that give good value, give good content to them, give them good advice, and then go through, buy their products, get their information, and follow the systems they provide, because here's what I've seen as a major failure. I've spoken at seminars and workshops where people have come up to me, and I've talked to them for a while, and I ask them what they do online, and they answer, well, you know, I don't do anything yet, I'm just getting started. And then I dig a little bit deeper, and this just getting started has been taking them 2 years. They haven't done anything yet. And that's because they jump from this system to this system. They go to this seminar, and they get all this information. They're trying to load themselves up to understand everything about the Internet. And I'll admit right here, I don't understand everything about the Internet. I don't know every single tactic that you could possibly use. And that's because we can't handle all or even deal with it all. What people need to do is cut back and focus on information from a couple of people. Follow the information that you're taught. And do it, not jump here or there. And the reason people jump here or there is they keep getting the promise that something else is easier. Because everything presented is so easy. I mean, people present the pay-per-click is so easy. Or the building a list is so easy. Or generating affiliates is so easy. Well, I can tell you that none of it is what I define as, like, super easy. But when we say something's easy, I will say this. Running my internet business today is a whole lot easier of a lifestyle than back when I was delivering pizzas. So it's all a comparison there. You'd never have me say the internet business is hard, because delivering pizzas in the pouring down rain and not getting any tips is a whole lot harder.
When you have an idea that isn't completely unique, is it people that have already been there and done that? Can you compete with that?
You most definitely can. I'm forgetting the domain name right now. But there's an individual who just came into the dating market in the last few years, and his whole site is free. Okay, so I mean, everything's free on the site. They basically have a matchmaking service that's totally free. And with his site, he basically makes all his profits by selling advertising. He has AdSense on there, and he sells direct advertising as well. And so we're talking a multi-million-dollar site. He probably has some team members, but it was primarily ran by himself. And so he came into that huge, saturated market that you just talked about, and he did a little bit of moving the free line to start giving away for free what other people were selling, and built a huge business model out of it as a little individual entrepreneur without a whole lot of budget to start with.
But seems like that would only have so many legs. So, you know, how many people can put up free internet dating sites?
Well, it depends on the subject. I mean, other people go into more of a niche of it. So, I mean, you might find some out there who are doing like a Christian free internet dating site, or somebody else who's doing another specific group.
You were talking, Carrie, about, and it's great advice, how many people just spend so many time trying to learn something if they never actually do it. Who were some of the people that were your gurus that you learned from?
Jay Abraham was probably the biggest one. I really learned a lot of stuff from his information. Starting out, like I said, originally, I went through and studied all his materials, listened to what he provided, and I went like step by step through, okay, what can I apply to the internet? What would work here on the internet? Some did, some didn't, of what I learned from him. But he was like one of the really big ones for me. Another one back then that really was strong influence on me was like Bill Myers. And Bill Myers was such a strong influence because he talked a lot about the lifestyle he had, and he was someone who's lived out in the country also. I'm here in Indiana because I like the rural lifestyle. I live in 18 acres. And on my street, there is 1 mile here that has only 4 houses.
Is it a family business? Are there other members of your family, your wife, perhaps involved in this as well?
My wife actually helped me for quite a long time. I think 7 of the years she helped me, and she was the assistant, and she got quite good at designing the website. Right now, she doesn't help me as much because her dream has always been in the medical field, so she's currently in school. She'll be graduating in a few months for being an RN.
And will she take that to the internet as well?
Probably not at first. She prefers to be out of the house. So she'll probably work at a hospital.
Talk a little bit about the use of video online, how that's changing the face of the internet.
Well, if you actually look at the stats, you'll see that YouTube has more searches than Google nowadays. So people are searching for the videos, and YouTube has really become the king of video. So right now, with my own business and with some client businesses, we end up generating a lot of free visitors through placing videos on YouTube. And I mean, sometimes it's as simple, like in some of my products, I sell DVDs, like I have a set of blogging DVDs, and I have like 6 clips I pulled out of those DVDs that I give away on YouTube, and YouTube generates some of the traffic. People are doing searches for those subjects. People watch the video, and then at the end of the video, it shows my website address, and people end up coming to my website and purchasing the DVD set. So it generates a lot of free traffic for me. See, that's one side of videos. We can generate visitors for free by posting good content on the video sites such as YouTube, and they're just one of them. I mean, there's a lot of video sites out there that are popping up every day. They're just the biggest and the best at the moment. But the other side is on the conversion side. I found more and more that by doing a video clip, even if it's what we call a talking head video, which is kind of like a webcam or a camcorder shot at your face and your shoulders, and you're talking about the subject, will often improve the conversion and sales on our website. And it's kind of funny. You can sometimes hire a really expensive copywriter, and they might improve the sales. You add the video, and often you can, again, improve the sales. Of course, the best case scenario is have that expensive copywriter write you a script for the video that you do on the site. And I have a few products and clients where we do most of their selling just with a video on a site. And sometimes it's as simple as doing like a PowerPoint presentation on video. And they talk about what they offer. They give some information that will help someone. And then they sell what they're offering for the video, almost like they were just selling it one-on-one in person. And they just do it with the video without much text on the site at all. So video is becoming a big part, both from the traffic and from the conversion on the site. And the really beautiful thing is most of the video tools aren't that expensive either.
And is this one of the products that you sell, how to do this?
I do not have a product that just talks about video. I talk about video in the overall conversion and traffic area in my internet lifestyle system, but I don't have a separate product that is just about video.
We'll talk a lot about social networking, and if you know how to do it and you're in it and maybe you're 20 years old, you get it. But for a lot of people that are a little bit older and are jumping into marketing and they have to shift gears and get with it, it's a little bit more difficult. And you just don't put a video, or do you, on YouTube that's a talking head, because who would go to it? Who would find you?
Well, you'll put it on the site that you already have. You'll end up putting it on YouTube. But if you're using the keyword phrases that people are searching for, you can end up generating quite a bit of traffic just that way, just by putting it up and using keywords people search for. And what I mean by that is for someone, I guess this kind of hits here because it works so well, in the dog training market, all they had to do was put up videos about different kinds of breeds of puppies. And by putting like golden retriever puppies and things like that, you'll find like there's 70,000, 80,000 views or something like that. of people wanting to find out more about that, that want to see that, and they'll end up viewing that on a site. So sometimes it's just having the right keywords that people are already searching for. And for that, you'll find that the same types of things they're searching on YouTube are the same things they search for on Google and the other search engines. So really the best keyword tool, it's kind of funny, there's expensive ones out there you can buy, but I like the free one best, which is the Google keyword tool. And to find that, somebody just needs to go over to Google, type in Google keyword tool, and Google's page is going to show up first. Surprise, surprise, but they'll show up first, and you can type in different phrases, and you can see how many people are searching for something on Google, and you'll find that on the video site, it's going to be pretty comparative. People are searching for many of the same things. So that's really part one, is coming up and figuring out what people are already looking for. And then part two is I most definitely do put it on my site. I run a blog, a WordPress blog, that's basically free on my site, and just about any time I post a video, I'll post it to my blog as well. So that really comes into a lot of traffic generation strategies for the blog. And it's funny, with the social networking, I think there's a lot of popularity for like the social sites, but in reality, I spend a lot less time with the social sites than I do like on my own blog or producing videos or things of that nature than I would ever spend on Big or on Facebook. I spend almost no time on Facebook, for example, because in my test, most of those social sites, the only ones that have been real profitable is Twitter.
Tell me about Twitter. I keep hearing about Twitter. Tell me a little bit of how that works.
A place that you can connect with others. It's almost like if someone understands what blogging is. Blogging is like writing an online diary, content, videos, whatever you want to put. You control it. You post it. Twitter is like a mini version of that because you only get 140 characters. So you get to write these really short paragraphs or like this little sentence of content. And where Twitter has its biggest benefit is when you start following other people in your market, and you can like send replies to them, or you can send direct messages if they're also following you, and you use it to connect with other experts in your market, really looking for stepping out and providing content. Because I found what works best on Twitter is when you're giving away resources. Again, you have a good video that you put up, you post it. And you'll often find that if it's a really good content, some other people will do what they call retweeting, which means they post that little link also to all of their audience, and it like grows a little bit what we call virally for it, so other people will post it for us. And so Twitter is kind of a subject on its own, but really of all those sites, really the only one that I found and really proven to be profitable that makes sales. So you don't see me on Facebook very much. I don't count there. I probably have more than 1,000 friends, but I'm rarely there.
You're talking about selling products, keeping your website going. You have a newsletter, I'm sure. You've got teleseminars. You've got blogs. You've got Twitters. You've got affiliates. You've got a family. What's your routine day like? Do you have to break this down so that you can keep everything organized and straight, or do you just sort of deal with things as they come?
I definitely have a schedule of what I'm doing. If I just did things as they come, I'd probably spend all day on a forum or something, or spend all day, you know, visiting Twitter and reading what everybody had to say about stuff. They did not write anything. So my normal day is I'll get up, and I like an early worker, so I'll get up, take a shower, eat breakfast, and then usually work by about 8 o'clock in the morning. And the first thing I'll usually do is I'll go through and answer some of my email coaching clients. I have some clients who pay for coaching with me by email only. So I go through and I'll reply to all of them, answer questions, sometimes look at their sites and things like that. Then I'll check to see if we have any comments that I need to approve on the blog, and check Twitter and usually make like a little post or comment to a couple of people. I don't spend more than 5 minutes there. So we're probably talking for this early session, about an hour for that part session. If I had a bunch of clients who like needed reviews of things or review their site or look at that, it might take a little bit longer for that part. So that's the basis there. And then usually what I'll do is I'll have sections that I really break up the day. For like phone coaching clients, I schedule those on Tuesday and Wednesday afternoon. So all my phone coaching clients are Tuesday and Wednesday afternoon. Usually Thursday afternoons are often interviews. I schedule interviews or teleseminars or something else on the Thursday afternoons. And then mornings are often me writing projects or working on a product such as a DVD. Now my videos, here's the real beautiful thing. Most of my videos that I produce, like the free videos I put on YouTube and stuff, come out of the DVDs I produce.
So you're repurposing material that you already have.
Yeah, so I take that and put it there. Same thing with like emails and blog posts. They'll come out of something I'm writing. Like something I have a lot of clients do is once we start talking about blogs, they start thinking about, wow, I got to produce all this content. What I'll tell them to do is just start writing a book. You know, write your book over the next 6 months. And because it's a book, it's a low-cost item, people will be quite willing to purchase that print book, even if you revealed all the information for free in the blog, just because it's a simpler and it's a better tool than the book. So that's how they can create all their blog posts, is just pull them from the book that they're writing. And I do that a lot with my content on like a DVD. A 60-minute DVD, it's quite likely I'll have pulled maybe three different clips pulling 15 minutes out of it that I gave away for free on the videos. So you can see you're repurposing all the content that you create in other areas. And then in my business, a lot of the promotional strategies, I still do like the AdWords because I enjoy it and I see it as good research, but a lot of the other promotional strategies are done by interns in my business, which means it's done for me for free, and we're talking like strategies of going out and making blog comments, going to forums, building relations with others, even posting some of their own videos, writing press releases. A lot of those projects are done by interns.
With so many coaches out there and with so much information, how does a person sift through it all and find a coach that's going to work for them? What questions should they be asking? What should they be looking for?
The very first thing they should look for is when they get to websites, they should be looking to see if the person's providing them a lot of information for free on the site. That's the very first thing. You know, not just sales copy, not real hard pitch sales copy, you know, buy my stuff or, you know, the end of the world will happen in 5 minutes, or that you'll make $1 million this year online, I guarantee you,
right,
that kind of thing. So look for that first as you're looking for content and value. And the second thing I would do is I would then take that person's name, put it into Google, and start looking to see what other people say about them. Are they happy with them? Do they have good experiences? I mean, if that person also has a blog, you can look for all the comments to see what sometimes people will be saying about them or not. In someone's own blog comments, my tip there is don't look for all those comments to always be awesome and how wonderful they are. They probably deleted any of the bad ones. Look for some ones that are a little negative too, but they leave on there. So go out and see what other people are saying about them. Because then with most people, I would just buy like a low-cost product first. Buy something cheap they sell. You know, don't go out and grab a $2,000 package first. See if they have something low-cost they offer that you can try out.
Well, when I think of coaching, I think actually having a person that I can talk to, you know, rather than listening to something that gives me the information that I can read. So let's address actually finding a person that you can talk to, which is going to end up costing more money, I would think, but may get a lot more value from it.
It would, but even in that case, I would try buying one of their products first. If they offer any products, I would really buy it first because I'd want to make sure it's somebody I would get along with. It's a system that I can follow because what they'll teach me will probably just be more advanced on what's in whatever materials they have. And personally, I'd be looking for what they sell first.
Do you still do this? Do you still buy other people's products or follow other gurus and keep up to date with what's going on?
Oh, I definitely buy other products. It's kind of funny. When you're getting started, a lot of times you'll buy everything. You buy a lot of high-cost items. A lot of times now I buy a lot more low-cost items from all different variations because I'm not looking for any one big system. I'm just looking for like one little tip I can use about my business. But I buy a lot of products and a lot of different information still to start with. That's the reason I'm kind of advising people to start with something low first, because you'll see pretty quickly with just one little purchase whether that person gives a lot of value or not in a product, and then you can go into and possibly get them for coaching. And for coaching, I'd really go after somebody who doesn't make me do a long contract. I'd want somebody who's like short or not sign me up for a year, or can I sign up for a month with them?
And then see how that goes. And then for you personally as a coach, is that something that you find that you want to follow up with them and see how they're doing and maybe even work with them later if it's a good match?
Well, it's kind of interesting. When I end up talking to people who come to me for coaching, sometimes I'll tell them that it's right, I can help them, and let's go and let's sign them up for a month and let's try out the coaching. With all my coaching clients, no matter how long they've been with me, I have them month to month so they can cancel any month they want. At the end of any month, they can cancel it. Also, when other people come to me and I don't think they're in the right place or they are like too basic at the very, very beginning, they don't have a website or they don't have any of that knowledge. For some of them, I end up suggesting to them to purchase a product for now and go through one of my products, and then we can come back around to coaching and they possibly could be a potential client in a month or two.
Well, that was going to be my next question, so I'm glad you brought it up about being too basic, because you did talk about focusing and how important that was. And if you do say, well, you know, I'm a cameraman, I shoot video, and I know there's a place for me online, I know online video is big, but I've got my camera and I've got my skills, but I don't really know how to apply it to the internet. So I want to come to you, and can you help me do that? Is that too basic, or do they have to come with you specifically and say, I don't even know what the question is?
Well, if they came and they said their camera and they wanted to go basic, probably the first thing I would end up telling them to do is go through some of the information on my blog. I would tell them to go through that very, very first thing. And then potentially, probably for most people, I would push them towards the Internet Lifestyle System product that I have. And with that, the real reason is because I want to get the whole system that I follow in their hands, because if they come to me for coaching and we really decide on doing a one-on-one relationship with coaching, I'm going to be taking them through that system. That's what we're going to be doing. I'm just going to be applying it specifically to them. So it's really in their benefit to make sure that's the system they want to be following, because there's a lot of ways to succeed online. And is my way the best way? It is for me. It is for some people, but it's probably not for everybody.
Right. Well, you've seen huge changes, and I really appreciate your sharing so much of that with us. But given that it changes so fast, where do you see yourself in the next 10 years?
In the next 10 years, I see myself with websites that are pretty much all video still. The whole Internet pretty much could be video at this point. I'll see that we'll probably still be using methods with email and Twitter. It seems like everybody wants to get rid of the email all the time, but it never goes away. We have other variations of it, but it never goes away. You'll still see me living a lifestyle business like I do today. Here's the funny thing. With a lot of people, they focus on more money, more money, more money all the time. And, you know, sometimes that means they work 78 hours a week. For me, I work more like 30 to 40, and I get kind of grumpy about it when I'm working more than 30 hours a week. I work better at a lower level, so I have more time to be creative. But you'll probably still see me doing the same thing, developing products, coaching clients, and most products by that point will probably be online videos as well.
Do you ever feel that there's going to be an end to the products that you're able to come up with, that you're able to find?
For there to be an end to products I can come up with means that there's an end to everybody's problems.
Well said.
I don't think there's ever going to be a point where people don't have problems they want solutions to.
And is that where you see the Internet's greatest gift?
The Internet's greatest gift, it's really an advantage here. This is kind of something that people haven't talked a lot about lately, but we're going to see it more and more in the future. I think the Internet's greatest gift is we can advertise and we can market to a worldwide audience at very low cost, which means we can do things like what I've been talking about, providing content, providing value to people, even before they buy a product, something that was never possible before. I mean, could you imagine setting up a brick-and-mortar business and telling people that your initial strategy is to provide a lot of free content and get free subscribers to show up? I mean, you're going to be out of business in a month or two if that's your only goal. I mean, you might give away something free, but you need to sell something really quick. Or could you imagine somebody using a lot of direct mail, which is expensive with the postal increases all the time, and sending out tons and tons of free DVDs constantly to, you know, build relationships and really help people even before they buy? So a big advantage to the Internet that it's given to all of us is we can be a value and be an asset to people even before they buy or even before they spend any money. And by doing so, we build a relationship where they will spend money to go to a deeper level.
And what about some of the downsides?
The downside, the only real big one, is since we have a worldwide audience, we also have worldwide competition, which means you can't just come on and be a me-too business, which is what a lot of people try to do. They go, well, I'm just going to come on and sell my product. Like we talked about the dating services earlier, like, come on, I'm going to start my dating service like the other 150 of them that are out there. It's not going to work. So you have to figure out how to be unique and how to be a little bit different and provide more value than the other people. And again, the advantage is you have so much lower expenses and lower costs that it becomes easy. And probably, I think, a real issue here, which really isn't a disadvantage for me, but it is a disadvantage for a lot of people out there, is the low cost of doing business online. The worldwide competition of business online means that for like local businesses, brick-and-mortar businesses, if it's possible to buy what you sell from someone else or somewhere else, you can be in trouble.
That's the end of this interview with Terry Dean. I hope you found it helpful. If you'd like more information on Terry's coaching, go to killermarketingcoach.com. That's www.killermarketingcoach.com.